Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men. This is Matthew 6. To be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, oh, I wish those words weren't there. I wish it was if you fast. Anyway, it's not. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So we're in Matthew chapter 6. We've spent a long time in Matthew chapter 5 over the last few years. And Matthew chapter 5 is all about people. It's about relationships. It's about the human face of church, if you like. It's about this community of faith that Jesus has a vision for, and how this community of faith will relate to one another in that community and maybe beyond that community. But it's very real. It's very stuff of life. It's about relationships. It's about learning how to love people that we don't like, who are don't like us and who are maybe not like us, our enemies. It's about being people of integrity and telling the truth and being faithful to our promises. It's about learning not to use people, especially not to use them for our sexual gratification. It's real life. It's when you fall out with someone. It's about leaving behind your act of worship to go, sometimes quite in a costly and sacrificial way, to your brother or your sister to be sorted out and be reconciled. It's very real. It's about people. It's about how we relate together. And I said this last time, I think over the last few years, there is something that God has done in our community about the way we relate to one another that is quite brilliant. And there is a grace and a kindness and a welcome and an inclusion and a generosity which marks us. And it's fantastic. But as we turn into Matthew chapter 6, the focus changes. The focus is less on the human interactions and relationships. The focus is now on how we relate to God. And I think Jesus has a vision for communities of faith that do both of these things well. The human, the way that we relate and interact with one another. And the vertical, how we relate and interact with God. It is church at its best, a melding, a bringing together of the human and the divine, the heaven and earth. We see that in Revelation 21, where heaven comes, this vision that John sees there of heaven coming and crashing into earth, and it says there will be the new heavens and the new earth, and there is somehow this mingling, this joining together of heaven and earth, and we are meant to be a community of people that live in light of the reality of what will happen and has begun to happen. That's why Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, or it's at hand. Heaven is colliding and intersecting with our lives, with the human interactions right now, and we're living in light of that and in the hope that that will come in all its fullness in the years to come. At some point, Jesus will do it, and we won't be praying for all these awful and dreadful situations around the world, because heaven will come in all its fullness. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's that joining together. And so in Matthew chapter 6, we see this is about how we relate to God. And we looked last time at this first verse. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And this word seen, if you weren't here, and maybe if you were and you've forgotten, but this word seen is a word that is used of theatre. It's about performing. That you will perform before other people. Beware of living your life, of doing good deeds. And Jesus gives three examples, but there are many, many others that he could have given and we could use today. The three examples are giving, of prayer, and of fasting, but it's about anything. Beware of living your life and doing good things to perform for other people, to perform for an audience. And the reward that we get if we perform for an audience is their praise. The implication and what Jesus is saying here is perform not for the audience of many, to be seen by other people and be honored by them, which is what it says in verse 4, but to perform, if you like, to live our life, to do our acts of righteousness before an audience of one. And the reward is his face turned towards us. His smile. When we live for him, how can he do anything else but turn towards us and go, oh. There is, I didn't mention this last time, but there is this brilliant Jewish proverb. It's not found in the Bible, but I love this. Whoso makes great his name loses his name. Whoso makes great his name loses his name. If I spend my life trying to perform in front of other people, to make my name great, to be known and praised and celebrate, then somehow, something of the authentic, true Rupert dies. I lose my name. And we are called to live our lives, our acts of righteousness for an audience of one. And this time I want to just take that a wee bit further. And this is, I'm calling this a call to faith. So there is the contrast of the audience, of performing for the audience, the many, and the audience of one. But there are some other contrasts that Jesus has here in this passage. And one of the things that strikes me as I read that passage that I read out just a moment ago is the contrast between seen and unseen, which weaves its way through the whole of this bit of oratory from Jesus. The more I read and the more I get into it, I think Jesus is brilliant. I wonder if you've ever thought about Jesus being absolutely super intelligent, clever, brilliant. He's brilliant. And there is this contrast between seen and unseen that runs through the whole of this passage. One of the things that I think is seen and unseen is the reward. So when I perform before the audience of many, I live my life out to be honoured by the crowds, and I do my acts of righteousness, whatever that might be. I do my good deeds to get the praise of other people. The praise is right here. Just imagine for a moment that you are my audience of many. And I do my good deeds, I do my fantastic preaching. Or whatever it is. The praise, the reward, is the honouring and the praise that you get from that audience. And it's obvious. It's immediate. It's right there. But this passage talks about the Father sees what is done in secret and he will reward you. I think the reward is in secret too. The reward is he looks when we do our acts of righteousness, when we live our life, when we do our performing of whatever it is before this audience of one, the reward is his face is turned towards us. His presence is with us. His smile is upon his face. Like any dad that's looking at his child going, you've got it. The reward is seen or unseen. But the thing I really want to focus on here is another contrast between seen and unseen. And it's the audience. The audience is seen or unseen. The people that we are performing to are seen. So it says here, before other people. The other people are obvious. You're to go out, it says don't go out into the squares or the synagogues when you are praying, and all kinds of things. The audience, the many, the people, is seen. But notice here in these scriptures that we read out, it says here that it is your Father in heaven. Now, I don't think that means that it's your Father who is in a different place, but I do think it's your Father who is in a different dimension. He's not seen. And it's made very explicit if you look in verse 6 and then in verse 18. But in verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. When you fast, in verse 18, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, who sees what's done in secret, and he will reward you. So there is an audience that we can play our lives out in front of to get their praise, to get their honor, to get their approval, and it's a very obvious audience because they're seen. It's my family. It's my parents. It's my brothers and sisters. It's my friends. It's the community in which we live. It's a very seen, obvious audience, and the feedback that I get from them is immediate. Or there is this audience of one here, but he is unseen. And we choose. There is the obvious audience that clamours for our attention. They flatter us with their praise. Or there is the audience of one who is unseen. Now, to perform for this audience of one who is unseen, this is my point, is a tremendous act of faith. Isn't it easier to perform, to live our lives in front of other people for their approval, honouring, praise? It's much easier. I mean, they're seen. But to do it for our Father in heaven, who is unseen, is an amazing act of courage and faith, because we don't see him. We don't get the immediate we don't get the immediate feedback or praise or reward in the same way. He's unseen. Oh, I've lost my page. So it's a tremendous act of faith and of courage and of trust when we live our lives and we do our deeds or our acts of righteousness before this unseen audience of one. And we read in Scripture a number of times when people have acted on what is seen, what they could touch or taste or see or understand, when they were concerned about their power or reputation or opinions of other people or honour or praise. And the choices they made were determined by the public approval of other people, of what they thought of the seen audience that they were performing in. Think about Peter. When he rebuked Jesus for saying that he was going to go to Jerusalem to die, to suffer, Peter rebuked Jesus for saying those things. And this is what Jesus says: "Get behind me, Satan." Wow, that's a fairly strong thing to say, isn't it? "You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." You are concerned about this audience. You're concerned about the many and what they think and your reputation and your place in all of that, your power, whatever it was. Think about Peter sitting around the fire and he was asked, "Are you friends with Jesus?" And three times he said, "No, I don't know this man." Three times he denied that he had any connection with Peter. He was concerned about what other people thought about. His actions were being done in front of this audience here. The scene, the people that were there. He was not doing it before an audience of one. Now, just before we get too judgmental about Peter, let us think a little bit about which one of us has not performed for an audience of many. Which ones of us have not been concerned about what people think about us, have not acted before them? Which one of us have not joined in to talking about other people behind their backs with a group of friends for fear of what the friends might think of us if we didn't join in with their gossip? Which ones of us have not egged up a story a little bit to make us look good? Which ones of us haven't quite told the whole truth and leave out some pertinent information which might paint us in a slightly less good light? Why do I do that? Because I'm performing for this audience. I'm worried about what people think. I'm concerned about my reputation. I'm looking for praise, approval, or honor, whatever it is. When I do those things, I'm doing it for an audience of many, for their feedback. Which ones of us have not said no to our group of friends doing some activity which on reflection we wish we had said no to, but we didn't want to stand out? Which ones of us have not spoken up in a meeting with a different view to what everybody else has said because we don't want to be the odd one out? Which ones of us have not said we're Christians? You may be here, Freshers Week. And sometimes it's so easy to hide and say, I'm not a Christian, because we're worried about what other people will think. We're playing for an audience of many that's seen. We're concerned about what people think or say about us, about our reputation, about our honour, and we're playing for that audience of many. And if we are honest, if I'm honest, we can do this all the time. Reputation, looking good, getting the approval of other people. Preaching's a great way of getting approval for other people. Do you know? It can also be a great way of having stones thrown at you. And thinking about stones, we also have examples of people like Stephen in Acts, who refused to deny his faith, who refused to play before the audience of many, and decided that he was going to do his act of righteousness before this audience of one. And because he did that, the audience of many threw stones at him. And he suffered this awful, horrendous, dreadful death as he was doing his acts of righteousness, living his life out, doing what he felt was the right thing to do before God, before his audience of one who was unseen. What a tremendous act of faith and courage and risk. And I don't know about you, but as I imagine that story, the scriptures say he has a vision of heaven. And as I imagine that story, I imagine him performing before this audience of one, and somehow the heavens open and he sees the face of the Father looking at him, going, it's okay, Stephen, you're coming home. That's how I imagine it. He sees the face of the Father looking at him, going, this is the audience you're supposed to be playing for, and you've played it well. It might cost you your life, but the reward is you gaze into my face and you see my smile. Wow. Now, I hope that none of us are ever in situations where we have to choose that kind of choice. But we make choices every day, every moment of every day, about which audience are we going to play for? Who are we going to perform for? Who are we going to do our acts of righteousness before? Are we going to do it for the crowd that will give their feedback? Or are we going to do it for the audience of one? So says Jesus, whenever you give money away to other people, to the poor, to the work of the kingdom, perhaps especially when you give money away when you have very little, when you have none, when it costs you a lot, when you're doing that for the audience of one, that is a tremendous act of faith and courage and risk, knowing that the reward will be his face turned towards us. Whenever we pray like we've prayed today, I don't know whether this goes through your mind, but it's like, how can we pray for some of these huge international issues and it make any difference at all? Wouldn't it be better to put some money in an offering and give it to Christian Aid for all these Iraqi refugees or Syrian refugees? Wouldn't it be better to do that? And of course, it's a good thing to practically help those people. But whenever we pray for some of these situations, or whenever we pray for individuals, it's a tremendous act of faith and courage, because we are doing it before an audience of one who listens, and maybe, just maybe, he will act in these international events. So to take time out to pray is a tremendous act of faith and courage when we do it before our audience of one. Whenever we choose to give up things for the sake of the kingdom, perhaps fast, but to quench our desires or our appetites because we recognize that there is an unseen reality of this audience of one that we are performing to. It makes no sense to give up food, does it? But if we do it before him, it's a tremendous act of faith and courage. When we go against the flow, when we pass over a career move or promotion, when we speak up for something or someone who is unpopular in our friends or workplace, when we stand up for injustice, or stand up for justice against injustice, when everybody else is wanting to compromise, when we choose to tell our friends about our faith, when we forgive those that hurt us, when we tell the truth even when it costs us, when we give up a career and a well-paid job to plant a church or work in a charity or work in some kind of ministry or church situation, all of those are tremendous acts of faith and courage when we do it for an audience of one who is unseen and for the reward of his face turned towards us. Some of the people that inspire me the most as I read their stories, or friends or people in this community, are those folks who have sacrificed, who've given up, who've lived their lives not for the praise, the approval, the honour, for the money, for whatever it is of the crowds, but have done it as an act of faith and courage for an audience of one who is unseen. And I think there is an implication in this passage that when we do our acts of righteousness, whatever they may be, before this audience of one who is unseen, I think the audience of many will often not get it. They often won't understand. Sometimes they'll just scratch their heads going, "You what?" Sometimes we will endure their scorn and their ridicule of the audience of many. But we will have the reward of the face of the audience of one and the smile on his face turned towards us. It takes great courage to do our acts of righteousness before an audience of one, whatever the reaction might be from this seen crowd in which we are performing before as well. It is acts of great courage, and no wonder the Father smiles and turns towards us when we do that, and smiles and goes, "Well done. Well done." Part of my audience will be my family, family friends, some of the community around us who work at RBS and have lots of money, or estate agents. And here's old Rupert, who 20 odd years ago felt some kind of strange call of God to work for a church. It's not quite the same as being a lawyer or a solicitor or working in RBS or an estate agent or owning your own business and driving your 4x4s and sending your kids to Harriet's and Watson's. And we live in the midst of all of that. Or my family, that is a very different background from working for a church. The temptation for me is to question that call. When I get concerned about the audience of many and what they think, to question the call of God. When we're worried about, have we got enough money or is there too much month? To question the call of God. Say, I could be doing something different and we would have a very different lifestyle. When I see those puzzled looks, quizzical faces, you work for a church, you do what? Sometimes it can even be people from different denominations and churches. You've stayed in the same place for 20 odd years. It's not the way we do it in our denomination. But that's the call of God. When I perform before the audience of many, there's all kinds of questions and insecurities that come. And I start questioning that call. When I'm here, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay if I preach well or don't preach well. Actually, it doesn't really matter because I'm not doing it for the approval or praise of other people. It's okay if there's more month than money because I'm doing it for Him. And He knows my needs before I even ask. It's okay if people don't understand or think it's a bit strange, or they're going out for meals and holidays in exotic places or skiing or all kinds of things that actually we can't afford to do because I'm doing it for Him. And His smile is what I do it for. I really believe there are some folks here. God's calling you to an adventure. I think God is calling you to some things where you will do some stuff that will be quite costly and quite sacrificial. It is going against the flow. It will cost you enormously. There are some things, seeds in your heart, some things you want to do for God, some adventures you want to have for the kingdom. I think God's calling some people here to do that. I don't know what it is. It could be all kinds of things. It could be saying, well, I'm going to work part-time. I'm going to be a nurse or a teacher. It could be that I'm going to plant a church. It could be I'm going to go on mission. It could be that I'm going to not go back to work as a mum, and we're going to trust God because actually being a mum at home for my kids is what God is calling me to just now, and I'm going to give up a really great career because that's what God is calling me to, and we will trust. I don't know what it is, but I think there are some great adventures in God that for some of us, he's calling us to. And this morning, I want to invite us to do those adventures for the audience of one who is unseen. And that is a great, great step and act of faith and courage. If you do it for the audience of many, it will never happen. If you do it for him, for all of us, can we recognize where our audience is? Who's our audience? The audience of many that we might be tempted to play to, that we might be tempted to perform. Maybe you're a student, you've just come back. It's your flatmates. It's your course mates. Maybe it's the people we work with or our next door neighbours. Maybe it's our family. Who is the audience that we might be tempted to play for? And what is it when we step away from that audience that we sense God is saying for us to do? For him, for the audience of one who is unseen. Let's just take a moment. Maybe Shirley and the band can come up. Just in these last few minutes before we finish. Let's just take a moment of reflection. Are you one of these people? There's some kingdom stuff that's on your heart. You want to plant a church. You want to work in a charity. You want to do something against the flow, whatever it might be. You want to be a teacher or a nurse. God's calling you to do something. Something stirring in you for that. Just acknowledge that. Where is our audience of many? And if we turn away from that audience to the audience of one, what's he saying to us?